Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God, which is chosen for our meditation this morning, is recorded in the book of Job in the Old Testament in the 19th chapter, and we will be reading the verses 25 through 27. I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. This is our text. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. St. Luke describes the well-known meeting between Jesus and two disciples on the road to Emmaus. It happened late in the afternoon on the day of his resurrection. And these two men were expressing a lost hope. They were depressed and they were disappointed at his death. They said, "We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel." And as they said that, it implied that they no longer had that hope. Only when he went into the house with them and blessed bread and broke it and gave it to them did they recognize him. And then they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" Very similar language is used many centuries before when Job said, "How my heart yearns within me," when he speaks of his great hope of resurrection. Job speaks of a great mystery. "My flesh will be destroyed in the grave, yet I know that in my flesh, I will see God. My eyes will see him, and not the eyes of someone else." And we join Job in that faith. Our hearts look forward to experiencing this mystery, and our hearts burn with the warmth of gladness to hear it. Jesus pointed to that same thing when he said, "The hour is coming when the dead who are in the grave will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." St. Paul likewise speaks of it as a mystery that cannot be grasped by human sense. "I tell you a mystery," he says. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. The dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." And so, as with one voice, Job, Jesus, and St. Paul, and others in the holy writings say it in such a way. They all say it as one voice. Job, in the days of the patriarchs, in a most striking poetic expression. Jesus, as he comforts Mary and Martha at the death of their brother. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." St. Paul proclaims it, but doesn't add anything to what has already been said. One of the few things on which all humanity agrees is that everyone will experience the reality of death and the return of human flesh to the most fundamental elements. The American poet Emily Dickinson grasped its inevitability when she said, "Because I could not stop for death, he kindly stopped for me." And J.S. Bach's Cantata 156 opens with, "I am standing with one foot in the grave. Do with me, O God, according to your goodness." The contemplation of death, my death, is something that I can push into the back of my mind much of the time, but I can never really erase it. I can never get rid of it. The older I get, or the more frequently I am confronted with the death of my contemporaries, it is near and present more and more often. But the same can also be said of the 18 or the 22-year-old. There's something about death that strikes fear and uncertainty into our hearts. To our intellects and our thoughts about the future, and especially in an awareness of our weakness and our sin, there is something unknown to be feared. Christians have such fear too, so long as they are aware of the bag of bones that they're hauling around in this life, so long as they are aware of their human flesh, of their old Adam, and of their sinfulness, as they must be. But the Christian, through faith, is also given another set of eyes, the eyes of faith. Martin Luther preached a sermon in 1519 on preparing to die. He had quite a ways to go yet, but he was still thinking about it. In it, he said, "You must not view or ponder death as such, not in yourself or in your nature, nor in those who were killed by God's wrath and were overcome by death. If you do that, you will be lost and defeated with them. But you must resolutely turn your gaze, the thoughts of your heart, and all your senses away from this picture and look at death closely and untiringly only as seen in those who died in God's grace and who have overcome death, particularly in Christ, and then also in his saints." And there Luther reminds the Christian to look at death not in the fear and terror brought by sin, but in the blessed promises God has made to his saints, as in the way that Job could face suffering and death. "I know that my Redeemer lives. Though my body of flesh shall be destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God with my own eyes, not the eyes of another." And that is the faith born in the promises of God long before that first Easter. It is the faith realized in our Lord's resurrection. It's the faith made certain for us by his word of promise. Through St. Paul, our Lord applies the resurrection to us in this way. As many of us as were baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have two prayer requests today. Lee Logging, father of Professor John Logging, who is hospitalized with congestive heart failure, and also for Marvin Meyer, former president of Bethany, who will undergo open heart surgery tomorrow. And following that prayer, we join in praying together prayer number 64 on page 155 in the forepart of the hymnary. Let us all rise. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, by your gracious invitation, we come before you on behalf of these two brothers in Christ. Be with them and their families in this time of trial. Grant wisdom and ability to their physicians that they may be restored once again to health, if that is your will. Comfort them with your presence through your word, and keep them firm in their faith through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And then we join in the collect, number 64. Grant, we beseech you, Almighty God, that we who have celebrated the solemnities of Christ's resurrection may, by the help of your grace, bring forth the fruits thereof in our life and conduct. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever.